Chapter 23, Off to Europe. In the spring of 1967, Master Subramania embarked on a 14-week journey to Europe, which he called the Actinix's World Tour. With three monks and five family members, he flew to Paris, bought a used Volkswagen van, and set out to visit 14 countries. In each nation, they visited spiritual leaders, they met with monks in Swiss monasteries, and priests in Roman theological seminaries. The budget for the tour was small, a mere $2 a day per person for room and board. So the group camped out, throwing their sleeping bags down in French wheat fields and bathing in streams in Germany's Black Forest. Twice, the group checked into a rural inn and indulged in a hot shower. It was a wild and wonderful adventure. They bargained for Persian carpets in the Kasbah in Tunis and, due to a breakdown in American-Algerian relationships, were taken off a plane and held hostage at gunpoint in an Algerian airport for 36 hours. In Venice, Master spent 3 days exploring a previous life experience. With two monks, he walked around the entire city, occasionally hiring a gondola. He was consciously looking for a certain place outside a theater, he said. He looked and looked for hours. On the third day, he suddenly exclaimed, "Here it is. This is the place where I was killed in a previous life. I was just leaving that small stage door over there after an opera performance when someone came up behind me, hit me in the head, and threw me into the canal to drown." Master mentioned later that night that he was always reluctant to sing in this life, and he attributed it to that horrible death long ago. He confided that it was hard to leave the body of that opera singer because it was turning out to be such a nice life. In Ascona, Switzerland, he spent 2 weeks at Casa Eranos, Carl Jung's charming summer chalet on the shore of Lago Maggiore, a massive mountain lake shared by Italy and Switzerland. Meditating, giving upadeshas, and browsing through Jung's personal library, Master discovered the famed psychologist's penchant for Indian philosophy and his deep engagement with Kundalini. One morning, a young monk asked the guru to describe the inner light. A few words of response came, but suddenly Master grew pensive, excused himself, and retired to his room. After some hours, the monks knocked tentatively on the locked door to invite him to lunch, but he told them he was busy. Hours passed, and again they knocked with no response. Though they were loath to disturb him, this was so unusual, the group began to worry aloud whether they should intervene. While those deliberations were underway, Master unlocked and opened his door, calling them all to join him on the open stone patio that overlooks the lake. It was late afternoon. With them seated around, he brought out a yellow pad of paper the kind lawyers write on. Beaming and clearly happy about something, he repeated the morning's question about the light, then revealed that he had brought through a small book during those solitary hours. He announced the title, "The Clear White Light," then proceeded to read the manuscript, a profound explication of the mystical experience. Aside from cognizant ability, it was to be the only major work he ever wrote in his own hand, all others having his inspired talks and dictations as their source. Here is an excerpt. "It is a great new world of the mind that is entered into when first the clear white light dawns, birthing a new actinic race, immediately causing him to become the parent to his parents and forefathers. When living in an expanded inner state of mind, he must not expect those living in materialistic consciousness to understand him. On this new path of the lonely one, wisdom must be invoked to cause him to be able to look through the eyes of those who believe the world is real and see and relate to that limited world in playing the game as if it were real, thus maintaining the harmony so necessary for future unfoldments. To try to convince those embedded in materialism of the inner realities only causes a breach in relationship, as it represents a positive threat to the security they have worked so hard to attain. First, we had the instinctive age of valuing physical strength and manly prowess, followed by the intellectual age, facts for the sake of facts, resulting in the progress of science. Now we are in an age of new values, new governing laws, an actinic age, with new understanding of the world, the mind, but most of all, the self. Understanding is preparation for travel, for it is an age of the mind, and in the mind, much more intense than the speed of light, exist spheres which seers are only willing to speak of to those who have the inner ear with which to listen. The mind of man tends either toward light or toward darkness, expanded awareness, or materialistic values. Depending upon the self-created condition of the mind, man lives either within the clear white light of the higher consciousness or in the external mind structure which reflects darkness to his inner vision. Leaving Switzerland, the nine actinics drove north through Austria, Germany, Luxembourg, Belgium, and Denmark. Master's purpose was to spread his Advaita Yoga teachings throughout Europe, and toward the end, he lectured at Sorbonne University in Paris and sponsored the first ever yoga conference in Amsterdam, bringing 100 yogis and yoga teachers together from throughout Europe. As they drove week after week through Europe, Master sat in the front seat of the Volkswagen dictating the yoga letters to a monk sitting in the back with a portable typewriter. The van became a mobile writer's studio, and all enjoyed listening as the teaching of the day flowed forth in his rich voice. When one was finished, they would stop at a local post office and mail the typed papers back to the monks in Virginia City to be dutifully published so all at home could follow Master's journey. Here is an excerpt. There is another great exerciser of the inner nerve currents, and that is using our willpower. This is where the term inner strength comes from. It is through practices such as finishing a job once started, doing each job perfectly, keeping promises, and just living a life in accordance with one's highest ideals that these inner currents are strengthened. When a person has been using his inner willpower to accomplish his goals, you can feel his inner strength emanating from within him. When that person sits down to meditate, he will undoubtedly attack his meditation in the same manner, strengthening even further these inner currents. The desire to meditate comes from positive accomplishments which have been gained through the practice of meditation itself. After a certain number of successful meditations, the subconscious begins to anticipate the next meditation until the mind is so conditioned that it constantly holds a meditative vibration. At this point, the desire for meditation is automatic and meditation becomes a way of life. Then, the energies and understanding of the fourth dimension are always available and are an ever-present part of a person's life.